the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today is a special edition. We are celebrating Earth Day, April 23rd, 2022. So what are your plans when you die? Statistics show the majority of U.S. citizens does not have a plan for when you breathe your last breath. So you're relying on your loved ones, your close friends, to decide what to do with your body. Not only that, but the financial expenses that go along with that. So today we're going to talk about the options you have at the time of your death, the preparations you would make, or the type of cemetery where you would like your body laid to rest. Later on in this episode, I will be talking with Sarah Brink. She is the manager, Foxfield Preserve Wilderness Center in Wilmont, Ohio. I was there a couple weeks ago and took a tour of the grounds, and I was really impressed. And Sarah conducted the tour, and I thought she did a great job, her and her team from the Wilderness Center. That's a very interesting conversation. You don't want to miss this one. I'll be right back after these brief messages with what you can do to save our environment on Earth Day and every other day throughout the year.
Look, Mr. Temple, you know something? This could be the beginning of like a real horror story.
Horror stories. This is where I come in. You remember those scary stories we heard around the campfire? Some were told by brothers and sisters, some by friends, but these are told by me.
The rain is raining, thunder is thundering, and I'm scared.
Join along in an all-new podcast dedicated to horror. From haunted forests, abandoned hospitals, and circuses for the dead, each episode will have you on the edge of your seat. With multiple themed seasons ahead, the nightmares won't stop. Follow along with me here. Follow along with all of us. We're waiting for you at Nightshade.
So what's Horton doing walking around, huh?
He may have been too busy to lie down and die.
Today is Earth Day, but every day should be Earth Day. I mean, the Earth is dying, people. Global warming is at all-time high. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. We have to do something to save our planet. One of those ways of saving our planet is the way we are buried. And we are going to get into all of that. Today I have Sarah Brink on. She is at the Foxfield Preserve in Wilmont, Ohio. And it's a very interesting conversation. That's coming up in a few minutes. You know, there are basically three types of burials. There's your traditional burial. There's your natural or going green, and then there is cremation. I really want to talk about those three and maybe which one is the right one for you. The statistics are showing that most people don't have plans for their burial at the time of their death. So you're relying on your loved ones and people around you to bury you. It's very costly. It can be very costly. Not only that, it's time of your death is heart-wrenching. And so you add that on top of everything else. And maybe the plans that they make for your burial isn't what you really wanted all along. Some people don't want to be put in the ground with worms and maggots. There's other people who don't want to be burned. So really, what type of burial do you want? Most people do not want to talk about death. But none of us, not one of us out there can outrun death. So with global warming getting worse every day. So what can we do? I mean, going green in burial is one way of helping to save the planet. A couple weeks ago, I drove to the Foxfield Preserve Wilderness Center in Wilmont, Ohio. It's about a 1.5 hour drive from my house. I signed up for the tour to take the walking tour of the grounds that was conducted by Sarah Brink. Thought she did an excellent, excellent job. Sarah graciously agreed to come on and talk about the benefits of going green and having a natural burial and everything else that the Wilderness Center in Wilmont, Ohio has to offer. And so let's get on with my conversation with Sarah Brink. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to talk about going green. I visited the Foxfield Wilderness Center a couple of weeks ago. You ran a tour on what it had to offer. I was very impressed. I mean, I learned a lot from the tour.
And thank you.
I don't know how to put this, but I really felt at ease because, you know, standing there, it was a cool kind of a rainy, breezy day, but I could hear the breeze just blowing through the trees. And I did learn a lot about the burial sites and the upper prairie and the lower prairie and the trees and being buried. If you wanted to go planting a tree and flowers at the burial, so we're going to get on all of that.
Sure.
But first, you know, what is your position and what do you do at the Foxfield Wilderness Center? And, sure. And also, what's the difference? Is a preserve, Foxfield Preserve, different from the Wilderness Center, or is it?
Yes, absolutely. So I am the manager of the Foxfield Preserve. Foxfield Preserve is a conservation burial ground. We offer exclusively natural burial. Natural burial to us means a burial where there's no embalming. We use only biodegradable burial containers. The body is dressed in all natural fiber clothing, and we do not use any concrete burial vaults. Burials take place either in our forest section or in our prairie wildflower meadow. The goal is really just for the body to return back to the earth. Now, we are a subsidiary of a larger organization, which is known as the Wilderness Center. They are a 501c3 nonprofit that is pursuing nature education and conservation in northeastern Ohio. Our education offerings reach about 45,000 adults and families throughout the course of a year. And I would say probably about 11,000 school children through field trips and our naturalists going out into the community to teach an appreciation of and an understanding of our natural world. And the conservation efforts of the organization, I think we're currently holding around 3,000 acres of natural land in the northeastern Ohio region where we operate. And all of the proceeds of purchases at Foxfield will actually go back into making these programs for the community possible.
Yeah, while I was visiting that day, I had a chance to walk around and also inside the Wilderness Center. I was impressed with the stuff you can buy inside and the information there about, you know, the proceeds going back to the center. And it was really it was a nice visit. Really, like I said, I learned quite a bit. So how many acres are actually at the Wilmont Park?
Altogether, we have about 650 acres at our headquarters tract in Wilmont. Of that, 43 are dedicated as the Foxfield Preserve Conservation Burial Ground.
And while we were on the tour, I mean, we'll get to the tour that I took. We were up in the, I think it was Upper Prairie.
Yes.
The people that are buried in the prairie.
Uh-huh.
Were there people in the prairie?
I mean,
I'm looking up at the, you know, at the weeds and.
Right.
But I didn't want to go in and, you know, and check out sure. the stones. But I was looking online, you know, and how you can, because, you know, you don't use traditional headstones with the.
Right. Not a tombstone per se. Mm-hmm. Though we do allow for the placement of memorial stones. They just look like regular field stones. They're unpolished, irregularly shaped, look like any other stone that you would come across, but they can be engraved with the name of the deceased. And you're right. If you were to be uninitiated and walk into the Foxfield Preserve, you would not know that you were in a cemetery. And that's exactly the point.
Yeah, no, I like that because, you know, you had the the trails, you know, that you could walk the trails and
absolutely. And they're part of our public hiking trail system. The trails through the cemetery are open to the public every day from dawn to dusk, like the other 10 miles of hiking trails on the center's property. And we have people who go out there every day and and walk with their dog, go out and run. And we also lead nature hikes out there. And we've had 40 children running through the cemetery with butterfly nets, trying to catch and identify butterflies. So it is, it's a place that's very full of life.
I've seen that, you know, because you had also like bird feeders down along the lower part. And I thought that was pretty cool that, you know, and I'm sure with the season, when the butterflies come in.
Right. That prairie is a very active place. We've got a lot of pollinators out there. And so in the middle of the summer, it is just a buzz, not only with the wildflowers blowing in the breeze, but with all of the butterflies and bees and grasshoppers and then, you know, all the birds that want to come and eat all those things zooming overhead.
Then you said, you know, you burn off the prairie like every 2 years.
Right. Part of our land management of the preserve requires that we do a prescribed burn of the prairie every 3 to 5 years, depending on the health of the prairie. Those happy little squirrels and chipmunks like to come and plant oak trees in our prairie from time to time. And so we do perform a burn every 3 to 5 years on that prairie. But as you kind of mentioned at the outset, we do have two different sections that are prairie meadow, and then one section that is forest. And we never burn the two prairies at the same time. We always leave one so that there's wildlife habitat there. And so, you know, there's a mass exodus from the upper prairie to the lower prairie on those years when we burn the upper prairie. And it usually doesn't take very long for the vegetation to spring back to life.
Is there a difference between the upper prairie and the lower prairie as far as regulations?
No, they're operated in the same way and, you know, have all of the same vegetation growing there. They were seeded with the same wildflowers and the burials take place in much the same way.
I want to get to, okay, traditional burials, because we know we want to push going green.
We're very biased.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, let's start with traditional. Did you know what I found is, like, even yesterday, I was talking with my family and I hit upon you were coming on the show today and I want to release this on Earth Day, which is Saturday, April 23rd. And this is probably the closest I've ever been to an episode I'm releasing, because I have tons in the bank right now to still edit and put out. But I want to put the Earth Day, especially, I think that's important. But I want to touch upon, you know, traditional, because we were talking yesterday, because some people, feminists, and my wife included, does not want to be, she has a problem with being put in the ground with worms and maggots. You know, so I understand.
And you
have other people who don't want to be cremated because they don't want to be burned. But we'll get into that. But let's talk about just traditional, because you go to any traditional cemetery and you see tons and tons of tombstones. And statistics are showing now that family members don't go back to the burial site. I mean, after 5 years, basically, it just drops off. I mean, if you're lucky, even within the 2 years, I mean, people that visit their loved ones, I mean, it's not happening. So you have all this space that's just taken up with all these tombstones that are not visited or taken care of.
Right. Right. Well, I think we've seen it as a society that we are becoming less and less tethered to place than we have been in the past. We've got our adult children moving off out of state and people are moving from state to state. So there's not as much tie to one particular place. And I think that's also driving a real feeling of disconnect from visiting the graveyard and visiting that grave space. But I think that's also part of the healing process that we go through when we're grieving. Even at Foxfield, you know, we'll see people who come out for a couple of years to visit the plot. But after 2 years, when they come out, they're not visiting that location. They are coming to walk the trails and enjoy the wildlife and enjoy the sense of peace in the space. There's not as much of a tie to the actual spot.
With traditional burials, you have the
formaldehyde and the embalmment and everything that goes right. into that. And that's what I was going to get into right. as the toxins that are put back into the earth that we don't want there, you know, and I don't think people realize.
Sure. No, we don't. We don't realize. And honestly, in our culture, it's difficult to get people to talk about death. You know, it's not something mm-hmm. that we really want to think about. It's not really something that we want to think about or talk about, but it is something that we're all going to face eventually. And so going in with some knowledge and demystifying some of the process really does make it easier. I think I've found. I should go ahead and state for folks like your wife, you know, each of us is going to have our own preferences around what we want done with this vessel that we've occupied for our lifetime. And by all means, everybody should have the option to follow through with whatever their choice is. From an environmental standpoint, though, we do use a lot of resources and a lot of energy in the process of going through our traditional burial. The Green Burial Council, which is a national organization that is working to push for a more environmentally friendly death care, they've reported that each year in the U.S., we bury enough concrete and vaults to build a 2-lane highway from New York to Detroit, and enough steel in caskets to rebuild the Golden Gate Bridge. All of those resources are being poured into the ground to stop what's actually just a natural biological process. So that's a tremendous amount of resources. We're also placing all of the chemicals that we're using in embalming into the earth, which are based mostly in formaldehyde. Uh-huh. And that's a known carcinogen. It's causing cancer in funeral directors and funeral staff members all across the country.
And the CO2, the emissions that go into the atmosphere, that's quite
a bit. Absolutely. Absolutely. And for a long time, cremation was the more environmentally friendly option, which, you know, it's not without its drawbacks. There, you know, there are certainly aspects of the cremation process that could be improved upon. We use a tremendous amount of non-renewable fossil fuels in the cremation process. We have to heat the retort to about 1800 degrees Fahrenheit for 2 to 3 hours to cremate an average human body. There are a lot of greenhouse gases that are being released. And when you think about the amount of people in the baby boom generation that are beginning to approach end of life preparations and are making their plans, we are anticipating these staggering death tolls in the next 10 to 20 years as the baby boom generation comes to the end. And when you think about all of those cremations, the impact that those are going to have on climate change, you know, the releasing of heavy metals in the body that become aerosolized during the cremation process. There's a lot of really detrimental side effects that can come.
Even, you know, during the cremation, the amount of sodium that's in the human body,
right?
That you even have to break that down if you want to bury that in the ground.
Right. Most people think that that you can actually return your ashes to the earth and that those ashes can become part of the surrounding vegetation, or that you can, you know, plant a rose bush or a tree on top and then those will feed into the tree. And it's a beautiful thought, but in reality, there's an incredibly high sodium content in cremated remains that actually is detrimental to the surrounding vegetation when scattered. And when we do bury cremated remains, we actually use a product to remediate some of that high pH level and make it more suitable for absorption into the surrounding environment.
I've been listening to a couple other podcasts recently. One was on last night, Homespun Haints, and they did one last night on, it was a live broadcast on going green. I thought it was pretty interesting. Because they mentioned a couple of things also that, in, you know, because you have different cultures that do different things.
Right.
As putting the body in trees, for or put them on the hillside or a mountainside, you know, and then let nature take its course, you know, and going back to the environment. And then I had another guest on it. She's going to be on in here in a few weeks. Her name is Maria Giuliano, and she actually died when she was a child. And her story is very interesting, how she said she went to heaven and then back. So I had her on a show, and I wanted to get her view on going green. But her guardian angel that came back with her, and she relies heavily on him, his name was Vigel. So she was telling me that her guardian angels on the feedback on, you know, dying was her angel said, we should give back to the energy of the environment we exit. He highlighted on the three E's, energy, environment, exit. I thought that was really interesting. And then she said she wasn't into the specifics of green burials, but Vigel prefers being cremated. Your soul is already outside of your body when you die. Send the ashes in the wind. And that's how I actually opened up this episode with you, is that prayer from Genesis. But I found those interesting, you know, that on cremation.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah. I'll tell you what I take out of that. What I take out of that is that for our entire lives, we've been consumers. We have eaten the plants and eaten the animals and taken that energy into ourselves to build our own bodies and power our own lives. And at the end, what is more beautiful than giving all of that energy that you have trapped inside of your body, that you have consumed throughout your life? What's more beautiful than giving that all back so that it can move forward and provide life through the continuation of that natural cycle? Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's all contained within this beautiful system in which we live.
I mean, if you think about it, we really didn't really start going with the formaldehyde and embalming fluid until really the Civil War.
Right.
Because you think up until that point, almost everybody went a natural burial, whether it be in a pine box or just your body put into a hole in the ground. I mean, because there was no preserving of the body. I mean, you died and you were buried.
Right.
Well, what the Amish still do that today, right?
They do. Our neighbors do very much the same as we do here in Amish country where we're located.
So you want the body buried probably within 24 to 36 hours because of the decomposition of the body. And I know the friends of mine I worked with that were Amish, that's how they did it. They buried real quick. It wasn't a wait until family members came into town. I remember as a child, my father took me, he was from Alabama. And I remember this being almost like 5 years old, going to the hillside where the family members were buried. And I remember seeing a skeletal hand. I don't know a part, it was gone, but that was all that was left there. And he hurried up and buried that. But that was, to me, traumatic because I'd never seen anything like that, you know. And I was thinking that there was no metal casket or nothing like that. I mean, we're talking back in 1960, you know. So things are different now. I mean, and you have these elaborate headstones now that are like 3D etching.
Right.
Route 66, or you know, and I'm thinking they're pretty, you know, but
they're pretty, sure, and
I'm
sure
a whole lot of money into that.
Wow, a ton of money, a ton of money, and you know, that had to be, all of those stones had to be dug up, and all of those stones had to be carted across the country to.
And after going visiting Foxfield, I thought that was so cool because you take all those layers out of the equation. Because when you're dead, I mean, basically, like when you said it on the tour, when you die, your spirit moves on. So it really, your body's just a vessel there.
Right.
And I don't want to sound unsentimental to the body. I'm just saying,
sure,
when you move on, you move on, and your spirit moves on.
Right. But honestly, I don't think it's unsentimental to think, you know, giving your body back to the earth and allowing all of you to provide life in a new way to surrounding vegetation and, you know, all of the critters that your wife is upset to think about.
Yeah.
I love the fact that my body will be a source of life for other creatures. And I think in that way, it's very much like I am living on in them. Or if you believe in reincarnation, that is a true form of reincarnation in a very natural sense.
I'll be right back with the rest of my conversation with Sarah Brink right after these brief messages.
Hey, I'm your host, Wendy, of the Juicy Pear Podcast. And I would love it if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Each week, I have new content, and I love talking with creatives. Tell your friends and family. And if you're feeling led, hey, you can buy me a coffee on ajuicypearpodcast.com.
You had touched upon the baby boomers. You know, I'm a baby boomer myself. Everybody, I hate to say it, around the same time passing away, not only for the cremation, but for all the burials in the cemeteries are going to be really overcrowded, or maybe there's going to be no room. Those spaces now are being starting to be overpopulated with the baby boomers. And once we get to that, we're not there yet, but we're reaching that point. And you touched on that on the tour of the baby boomers and maybe getting your spot, you know, planning your spot now.
Right.
Of Foxfield maybe picking up with the baby boomers.
Yeah. We've seen a pretty significant increase in interest around conservation burial. I mean, we opened Foxfield in 2008. So, you know, we're coming up on about 14 years of being open and in the operation. So a certain amount of the increase in our business is just, you know, because we've been around long enough that awareness is growing about the offering that we have to bring. But also I think there is something about the baby boom generation. I guess I shouldn't talk to you about your generation, but in generalities, I think, you know, your generation has broken the mold in so many ways. You haven't followed through with doing things in the quote unquote expected way. Breaking with tradition isn't outside of the scope of what you are willing to and comfortable doing. And so looking at an alternative method of disposition at the end of your life, one that might be more reflective of the things that you've cared about during your lifetime, it's something that we're seeing more and more of. And honestly, with trends the way that they are, I anticipate that we'll continue to see more and more baby boomers coming in this direction.
You know, I was really surprised on that tour is, you know, you touched on a lot of good issues and on a lot of good points of going green, natural burial. Well, I was really surprised there wasn't. And when you opened up for questions, you know, if anybody had any questions, you know, and there was a few that I'm sure within what you say, you're there for 15 years at Foxfield. I'm sure you're hit with a lot of questions that you leave you scratching your head. I was surprised on a couple questions that I wasn't even thinking about myself. Animals being buried with you. One gentleman asked you, could they bury their pet with them?
Yeah, we get a lot of questions. We get a lot of questions because, of course, you know, so many of us, our pets are our family. And
but by law, you cannot do that.
We are not able to bury pets in our cemetery. Now, you are able to have human remains buried in a cemetery that's intended for pets. You can have the cremated remains of an owner buried in a pet cemetery, but we do not currently have a pet cemetery at Foxfield, and we can't accommodate pets.
you were hit with that question. And I think
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because we are still animals. And, but you know, humans, we are a funny species and we like to think ourselves very set aside from the rest of the animal kingdom. And,
I think another one was about drinking at the cemetery, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how often I get that question.
You know, and I've heard that at other places I've been to. You know, but one thing that really, really surprised me was it didn't come up was the cost, because it is much cheaper to go green than a traditional burial.
Right. Well, so the cost of our plot is very comparable to what you would get around the state of Ohio at another cemetery. Once you factor in the cost of the plot, plus in many places, they do then require you to use a concrete vault. And so our cost is very comparable to what you would pay in that way. But then you also have to think about, you know, the savings on not being embalmed, the savings on not purchasing a steel or a elaborate wooden casket. We have a lot of folks who choose, you know, a simple pine casket. They build their own pine casket. They use a fabric burial shroud, either one that's manufactured specifically for natural burial, or simply using you know, a meaningful blanket or quilt that's been passed down as an heirloom. And in fact, what we are seeing most often recently has been cardboard cremation containers. You know, you can obtain those from most every funeral home, and you're looking at maybe $75.
Mm-hmm.
While many people kind of recoil at the thought of purchasing a cardboard box to be buried in, they're actually quite beautiful. I've had a lot of families who actually integrate those into their graveside services by, you know, bringing chalk or markers and allowing the family to write farewell messages at the gravesite, or bringing them into the home if their loved one is under hospice care, and giving folks an opportunity to, you know, paint murals on it while they come to visit at the end of someone's life. Most notably, I think, has been the opportunity for children to really participate in this way at the graveside, and, you know, being able to draw a picture for grandma or write, you know, write a farewell message. Those are things that they can understand.
I liked what you said about, you know, having the family involved, you know, getting the family involved in the burial. Right. I like that a lot, you know, and I know it's hard, especially when you brought up the story, and maybe you might want to share that about a person you ran into after the burial, that she didn't want to be involved in her son's, I think it was burial.
Yeah.
Because that is a hard time. It is. It's very hard. I can't even imagine burying a child, you know, but, you know.
Sure. I'll tell this story. I met with a woman in just probably the worst of all possible situations. She had lost her adult son. He was in his 20s. He died unexpectedly in the night. She was coming out with me to choose a burial location, and we were talking about what she could expect in 2 days' time when we would bury her. And I let her know that we involve the family as pallbearers. They actually lower the casket into the ground, and then we do provide shovels and invite the family to participate in the closing of the grave. At that suggestion, she just broke down. She was unsure that was something that she would be able to do. And I let her know that she could make the decision in the moment about whether she should move forward with that.
Yeah. Cause you had mentioned that, you know, with her doing even one shovel of dirt to put in and on the casket was, it's like you had said, it's like her tucking him in for the last time, like a closure, you know.
Yeah, being able to do something for him in that moment, being able to participate at that time, it was her opportunity to do a service for him. And when it's your own child, I completely understand how overwhelming it is. But to be able to care for them in that time as the last act that you're able to give as a parent.
Because sometimes I think, you know, even on a traditional burial, that's lost, because you go to the burial, you're relying on all the other workers to do all the work.
Well, I think we're very disconnected from the process. It's become mm-hmm. very industrialized. You know, our loved ones die in a hospital. They're whisked away and taken to the morgue. They're shuttled off to the funeral home. When we do see them again, they're very made up and full of those embalming chemicals, and they just don't look like themselves. And then you get to the graveside and there's green astroturf laid down, and you know, you don't even see any dirt because they haul it away to another part of the cemetery. It's just very sanitized and removed.
I know when my mother passed away, you know, it's been 10 years this year. And I remember going down into the bottom part of the funeral home, and it was almost going and shopping for a car, because, you know, they're saying, well, here's your basic model, you know, you're looking at the caskets. And then if you, how important was your mother to you? I mean, so, cause here's the most, now we step up to the next model. It's like going from a Chevette to a, now you're going to a sedan. I hate to put it like that, but if you really want to go to like the Cadillac version, like here's the, but then you're hit with the cost of not only that casket being almost $10,000, but that doesn't include the liner. Now, if you want that silk liner and that special pillow and the brass handles. And so, and once you add in all these costs, you know, and I hate to put money value on a death, you know, but so right. Are you going to ever see that casket again? Are you ever going to see that vault? I just had a peaceful feeling at the Foxfield Wilderness Center. I just want to let you know that. I thought it was
that's great to hear.
Then, like myself, because my wife and I, we still don't have our burial plans set. And I mean, there's so many people like myself that don't. So when you do pass away, that's put on to your children or your friends to bury you, and it's costly.
Right. Well, and like you were mentioning with your mother, you know, you're making financial decisions in a way that it's completely interlaced with emotion and grief. When you're grieving, that's not a time when you want to be making big decisions. And I'll tell you that I applaud you for coming and touring Foxfield, because that's the first step in figuring out your own plans for yourselves. And I've been doing this for more than 10 years now, and I have sat across the table from people on either side of that equation, folks who are coming in, making arrangements for the burial of a loved one when their loved one has given them complete full direction as far as what they want, and worked with folks when they are coming in completely unprepared with no idea of what their loved one wanted. And I have to say that being able to come in with a clear understanding and no doubts about what mom would have wanted. And that makes every single decision so much harder. I can't tell you, I've had people who are nearly in tears trying to decide what dress to put mom in. Mm-hmm. I mean, even those really simple decisions can be fraught with so much meaning.
You know, all that plays into the equation of when you pass away, you're passing that down into your loved ones to take care of that at a very traumatic time for them, having to bury you. And the money issue comes in, because if you don't have money set aside for your burial, you're putting that on to them to have to go to a GoFundMe page or something to bury you, you know. And right. Then it comes down the cost, maybe you're going to be cremated, that you don't want cremation.
Right.
So before we close out here, I did want to have you push why we should go green on burial.
Well, I think, you know, there are myriad benefits. You're reducing your consumption of natural resources. You are protecting natural lands into perpetuity. You're providing funding for education and conservation work. And then you're leaving just a beautiful legacy for the family that you leave behind. We don't view ourselves as being salesmen. That's not mm-hmm. what we do. We're here to educate and to help people in any way that we can. And so If any of your listeners do want to learn more or have questions, by all means, please reach out. I will go ahead and self-promote and say we're at foxfieldpreserve.org. We can also be found on Instagram and Facebook if you are on those social media channels, and we are happy to meet with and chat with anyone.
And I will put all those links at the bottom of this episode. Thank you, Sarah, for coming on and sharing everything with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sarah, for taking time out of your day, coming on the show. I honestly have to say, I reached out to three other green cemeteries in the Ohio-Pennsylvania Valley, and the Foxfield Preserve Wilderness Center was the only ones that got back to me. They were courteous in their tour that I took at the facility, as you just heard, courteous on the interview. So thank you very much, Sarah Brink. I will have all the links at the bottom of this episode where you can reach Sarah, the Foxfield Preserve, and the Foxfield Wilderness Center, their website, their email, their phone number, and their address. Thank you again. Thank you for listening. Do something special for Earth Day. I'll see you next time around on Ghost in the Valley podcast.